in the other direction and hope that you don't hit. But this one, you can get power-ups like a shield and shooting bullets at people and things like this. Also, camel try, as we mentioned before, and no one knows how to pronounce because it's real weird to put those two words together. So, what a great array of titles that you could get legitimately on your PSP or PSP Go if that came out for that. You know what? This is getting me too excited. We got to get Japan on the line right now because I can't take it anymore.
Go get him, Tiger.
Send Sambe-san my regards.
Right on, guys. Okay, I'm hanging up with you. I'm getting on the line. TT's going to help me connect. Stay on the line. I'll talk to you later in the council. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, here we go. This is quite official compared to what we're usually used to. Here, let me just put the number in. Maybe I press 9 for an outside line or something? Let me try.
Followed by the pound sign.
Try. Keith, any ideas here? Let me...
Press 2-2. No, you're doing it incorrectly.
Damn it!
Followed by the pound sign.
Oh my! I don't want that.
No.
Access code を認識いたしました。会議におつなぎいたします。
Hello, United States calling. This is Wiggly from We Talk Games. Yukiharu Same-san, are you there?
Today we are here, the three persons, including myself, and Scott-san, and also attractive lady Ikuta-san.
So, I'm okay.
So, how shall we start?
Let's start at the beginning, and thank you so very much for being a part of We Talk Games. You know, we've been fortunate to have been able to speak with many of the key people behind the birth of the video game industry. We've mostly heard about the beginnings of video games and arcade games from the California and Chicago area, and how sometimes passion and creativity played a more important role than understanding the blossoming technology of the time. I'm very interested in hearing about what the gaming industry was like in Japan in 1979 and how you began your career in video games.
I joined Taito Corporation in 1979. And that is before the year of 1979, Space Invader was a big hit. And I felt anything is possible on a video game. At that time, game creators did everything like hardware programming, graphics, and sound also. I was the engineer all that time, hardware engineer, and I did many kind of hardware programming, also graphics, sound, everything on that time.
I see.
And approximately in 1981, after I experienced many jobs, I promoted as a game developing manager. So at that time, we had three managers. And one guy was focused on the sound team, and the other guy focused on the graphics. And I was focused on the hardware system. These three managers also directed game development. And I directed more than 30 games from 1980 to 1990, like Rustan, Frontline, Operation Wolf, Arkanoid, Bubble Bobble, and Darius, and so on.
Wow, those are some amazing and diverse titles. Now, you came to the company 1 year after the release of the groundbreaking Space Invaders. In the United States, Space Invaders would help propel arcades into the pop culture, and shooters became the most popular genre of games for years to follow. And in later years, Taito would once again sway American gaming habits with the Puzzle Bobble Bust and Move series. But one of the compelling elements of the original Space Invaders was the manner in which the primitive sounds available at the time were used to create a very dramatic gaming experience. Taito was also tied to music from the very beginnings of the company in the form of leasing jukeboxes in the 1950s and 60s. And this leads me to something that most of our audience may not be familiar with, but was a very popular and successful invention in Japan, network karaoke. Can you briefly explain your home network karaoke?
So as you mentioned, Taito sold the jukebox and in 1980 and also started a karaoke business in 1980. At the time, karaoke began as bar entertainment, we call it business youth karaoke. And on that time, high-end karaoke systems were based on Pioneer Laserdisc system.
Sure.
Pioneer was the king of karaoke system at the time. And in 1992, I invented a net karaoke system. And soon, more than half of the Laserdisc karaoke system were replaced by my network karaoke. I worked with a company called Ensoniq, which is located in Philadelphia, and introduced their sound technology. In 1995, I directed Taito's home net karaoke business. This system uses analog telephone line, and Ensoniq technology is combined also. We sold more than 200,000 home karaoke sets, and tens of thousands of sets are still working today.
I used Ensoniq sampler keyboards, Ensoniq EPS 16 Plus, so I'm quite familiar with their product.
Oh, really? I worked with Vice President of Mr. Albert Charpentier. He was also the creator of the Commodore 64 video chip.
Oh, wow.
For that, yes. So maybe he's also a well-known engineer in this environment, I believe. You mentioned that you have Ensoniq, and are you still using that Ensoniq? I believe the Ensoniq is much absorbed by some other companies, but are they still that kind of equipment still exists in the United States market?
Well, the first Ensoniq keyboard I used was the Mirage, which was more of just a traditional synthesizer. And then we started working on the ESQ-1, which was one of the first sampling keyboards. And then in 1990, we finally got the Ensoniq EPS 16 Plus, which was a very affordable sequencer stereo sampling keyboard for its time. And I also know that Ensoniq made a lot of sound cards. And I know that they came out with a lot of keyboard workstations after that, but by 1998, I was already using Virtual Studios on my Mac, and by 2000, I'd completely switched over to eMagix Logic, which then later Apple bought out. And I think Ensoniq was acquired by Creative Technologies. And yes, they were from Malvern, Pennsylvania. It was very close. And I remember in the early days, we would share our sample libraries. We would create sounds and then share our libraries with Ensoniq user groups across the country. And although there are a lot of keyboard workstations that you see in the music stores nowadays, mostly everyone has switched over to PCs or Macs, and they're using some type of software studio suite.
We worked many engineers on that time. I stayed in the United States for more than a month to develop the sound system with Ensoniq on that time anyway.
I could talk about music forever, so thank you for indulging me. Taito games are instantly recognizable, and they are all very solid games. Elevator Action, Jungle Hunt, Bust-A-Move, Space Invaders, Operation Wolf, many of the titles that you've already mentioned. And some of the early Nintendo Famicom cartridges like Panic Restaurant and Bubble Bobble series demand high prices at public auction sites. Even after Taito became part of the Square Enix family, it still maintained its original identity. It's obvious to me, Taito is more about creating a quality experience than worrying about other market competitors. What is the Taito ethic when developing video games?
Taito supply surprises and delight. Video games are one form of expression. Taito is focusing on the arcade game and also mobile entertainment business. Anything is possible on the arcade. If necessary, we introduce the latest technologies, sensors, cameras, and so on. It is obvious that some categories of home console games will be replaced by mobile games. New technology makes this happen.
I see, but what is it that makes the Taito brand so special?
Every creator and every engineer are really eager to make the customers surprised and delighted. It's really so. So all the engineers and creators are looking for the new kind of things every day. maybe that is the energy to for a new creation of titles product, I believe.
I see. You are the chief technology officer, and do you mostly focus on portable entertainment, like the iPhone games?
I am acting as a CTO, not only for arcade, but for the mobile games and sometimes for home console games. And I really trying to found new business, including the new technologies. That is my job today.
In a relatively recent release, Space Invaders Infinity Gene was an amazing retelling of the Space Invaders mythology. Can you tell us about how the concept of evolving and adapting became a part of that title?
This game was created by my colleagues, Mr. Reisuke Ishida. He mentioned that the concept is based on the respect of Space Invaders and its influence. In fact, every 5 years, title release kind of evolved Space Invaders. Unfortunately, some of them did not make good business, and others were very successful, like Infinity Gene.
A few years back, one of my favorite import items had to be the little cell phone accessories that featured one of the most awesome team-ups of all time, Hello Kitty and Space Invaders. How did the merging of those two icons come about?
The Hello Kitty is a very good character, I believe. And yes, I have heard that the mobile strap is distributed, which was combined Hello Kitty and Space Invaders on that time. But today, we do not any collaboration with Hello Kitty today.
I see.
But we also doing many collaboration like Namco Pac-Man or kind of mobile phone maker of Nokia.
Okay.
Sometimes we developed a Pac-Man and the Invader maybe was years ago sometimes. And we also worked with Nokia and developed Nokia Invader on that time maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So we always looking for the good collaborations.
Oh, very good. Now, as fun as Space Invaders Infinity Gene and Space Invaders Extreme are, there's a title that brings levity to the Space Invaders series. It is a game that comes up around the We Talk Games water cooler on a daily basis. And that is Space Invaders 95, Attack of the Lunar Loonies. What are your thoughts on this title?
In fact, I am not so familiar. I just heard that name and some of the graphics of that game. But as I mentioned, every 5 years we release evolved Space Invaders game.
I see.
Including the Space Invaders 95. And I believe Space Invader gene are still alive inside our blood, I believe.
I guess that explains why we haven't seen many re-releases of that title. Is there anything that you can tell us about future releases that you are excited about or the current direction of Taito?
As I mentioned earlier, that the Taito will focus on the arcade game and the mobile game business. And arcade has many possibilities, I believe. It can introduce many new things that cannot be experienced on the home console. The technology keyword of new arcade is next generation human interface systems. Engineers and creators are working to introduce this concept into new development.
Is that realized in such games as Hopping Road?
Oh, you know that?
Yes.
That is one kind of game, and that is focused on the not only adult but for children, and that also generates a new kind of customers, I believe, and it is easy to study to play.
Did you have any involvement with the Elevator Action series?
The original one was I was involved, and my colleagues and my best friend of the time developed the Elevator Action. That was more than 25 years ago, I believe.
It's still a fun game to play, and we also hope for a return of that title. I know that it was recently released as a shooting gun game with Death Parade.
Ah, You mentioned the latest version of those Elevator Desperate, yes. Elevator Desperate, unfortunately, I didn't involve on that, but it's also a good game. Is it possible to see in the United States that kind of game today?
Yes, most of our arcades only have a very few video games, but many of them are gun games, also sit-down networked racing games.
And maybe you know that if compared with Japanese arcade business market and United States market, as you know, the Japanese market is very big. It's more than two times bigger than home console game of Japan.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the United States is very small on arcade. But maybe you know that China is getting very big, the arcade business is getting very big. So we are focusing Japanese market, of course the United States market, and also China market.
Very good. Asabe-san, thank you very much for joining us on We Talk Games.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure.
Bye-bye. Wow, what an honor. Big thanks to Taito for allowing us this opportunity for the interview, despite language barriers. And by language barriers, I mean my inability to speak Japanese or English. But it's truly something special for We Talk Games. All right, Keith, let's hear from the youth of our country. Let's get Kirby on the line. Minneapolis, Minnesota! Minnie Kirby.
Hi, everybody.
Minnie Kirby, what you got for us, man?
Well, today I have a rather interesting game, two I'd like to talk about.
Okay, very good.
This time. The first one, now I'm sure you've all played or at least heard of what's known as a tower defense game.
Mm-hmm.
You build your towers and guys come at you and the guys get shot by your towers. You get...